Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean.
All right, hello. How are you? Glad you are with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. It's 800-941-SEAN. We're broadcasting today. We are in London. If we can get a little more boost back there in New York, just a hair, JCO. Yeah, there we go. So we've got so many big stories today. What the President of the United States did today is nothing short of telling weak allies that loved Barack Obama, telling them the truth about, you know, they complain about Vladimir, Russia, Putin, and the threat to Europe. And he actually had the courage to say, well, why are you making Russia rich again? Why are you so dependent on Russia? Why are you cutting deals worth billions and billions and billions of dollars? Now, we're going to get into all of that today. We have big breaking news. We have great guests. Andy McCarthy is here today, and we're going to check in with Sarah and Greg. They'll join us. Newt Gingrich is going to join us. Why didn't Lisa Page show up at a congressional hearing and obey and a congressional subpoena? She decided not to show up. What are the ramifications going to be? Now, if Congress wants to have any bite behind any subpoenas they give in the future, they better hold her in contempt. And my understanding is they're working on something right now that she either shows up tomorrow or Friday, or Lisa Page will be held in contempt. Now, one of the things I'm guessing is that probably her lawyers are thinking, well, we're in D.C. and just about every judge in the D.C. area is a liberal. So they're thinking that she can get away with it. And there we are once again. We're back to a two-tier justice system. We don't have equal justice under the law or equal application under the law. I mean, imagine any of you ever doing the same thing that you're going to defy a congressional subpoena. You're not going to show up. You're going to have subpoenaed documents and emails and text messages, and you just decide you're going to delete them and acid wash them, bleach bit. And then you're going to, you know, bust up the devices with hammers and remove the SIM cards. It was amazing the reaction I got when I said, after Robert Mueller had suggested anybody that he had interviewed, he wanted their cell phones. And I said, well, I wouldn't give this advice. It would be bad advice. But if I gave the advice to do what Hillary Clinton did, I don't think it's going to work out well for anybody. And which was the whole point. And of course, your corrupt liberal media was more angry at the idea. Hannity is trying to encourage people to obstruct justice. No, Hannity was pointing out that we have a two-tier justice system in America. One for us, one for the Clintons, and one for anybody that supported the Clintons and also tried to undermine Donald Trump in the last election, which is what this was all about, which is why we're unpeeling the onion every single day here on this program. All right, so we're going to get to that today. We also have, the Democrats have so botched their attacks on Judge Kavanaugh. It's all backfiring. We've got an interesting development as it relates to the seven red state. Well, there's actually 9 Senate Democrats up for re-election this year in states that Donald Trump won. And they're now taking a wait and see attitude. They're not quick to rush into the suicide of a political career chamber that Dick Durbin wants them to jump into. So we're going to get into all of that. Let me start, though, with this. For all these years, and one of the reasons we're in London, and we're going to be here tomorrow as well, And we'll also be headed to Helsinki when the president meets with Vladimir Putin, and we'll be covering that for you. We have some announcements we're going to be making later in the program. But one of the reasons we're here, now London is literally asleep at this moment, and everybody is either in a pub drinking, celebrating, hoping and praying that London, or England rather, gets into the World Cup finals. They're actually up 1-0. I think they're playing Croatia today. And the hopes that they get to the finals. And when everybody's all huddled around their flat, if you will, or their apartment or their house or wherever they live, hoping that they get it. I mean, it's World Cup fever like I've never seen. So, but tomorrow and the day after, we're expecting big leftist protests here in London, and we're going to be covering it all for you. And one of the things that you've got to understand, this is so symbolic. Europe loved Barack Obama. Europe loved the apology tour, the Apology for America tour. Europe loved the Iranian deal and America stupidly, you know, dropping $150 billion in a cargo plane so the mullahs can get rich in cash and other currencies. And, of course, we see how well that bribery worked in that particular case. Donald Trump kept his promise. He pulled us out of that idiotic deal. Donald Trump did make Jerusalem the capital of Israel, another promise that he made. He also now has picked a justice with a judicial philosophy, a stated judicial philosophy. And I know some of you probably rightly have a reason to be cautious. But I'm cautiously optimistic is how I would describe Justice Kavanaugh based on what he said and what I read to you yesterday about his comments on Antonin Scalia and judicial philosophy. So now we've got a strong president. The parallels are remarkable. Now, we saw this with North Korea. Remember, here it was prior to the Singapore summit. Donald Trump didn't give little Rocket Man anything. He just said, I'll meet with you, because Kim Jong-un eventually was beginning to realize, especially when six Pacific Striker Navy brigades were off the coast of North Korea. He was getting a little bit nervous. And then he first stopped firing missiles over Japan and threatening Guam and threatening the entire region and threatening to, you know, shoot missiles into the United States, ICBMs, if he ever built the capability of doing it. That's all stopped. That's been over now since December. No rockets have been fired since then. And it was Little Rocket Man, and everybody in the media was freaking out because the president dared to make fun of this guy. And when he had one failed rocket after another, that was kind of funny, too. But then he did successfully fire over Japan, and the world was on edge. And then the president said, yeah, fire and fury. And then the president said, my button's bigger than yours, and mine works. And lo and behold, the president then meets with Little Rocket Man. No more rockets fired. We have nuclear missile test sites that are being dismantled. We've got
many years back where they're delinquent, as far as I'm concerned, because the United States has had to pay for them. So if you go back 10 or 20 years, you'll just add it all up. It's massive amounts of money is owed. The United States has paid and stepped up like nobody. This has gone on for decades, by the way. This has gone on for many presidents, but no other president brought it up like I bring it up.
The good news is that the allies have started to invest more in defense. After years of cutting defense budgets, they have started to add billions to the defense budgets. And last year was the biggest increase in defense spending across Europe and Canada in a generation.
Why was that last year?
It's also because of your leadership, because you're a clear message.
They won't write that.
All right, my connection went out there for a second. So you have the president calling on European nations now that are delinquent in their payments to the United States. And at the parallels with North Korea, Reagan called the former Soviet Union the evil empire. He literally said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. The left predicted, oh, he's going to start a nuclear holocaust, just like the president with Little Rocket Man. And you see the president today, then he goes out. Let me play for you what he said early this morning when he called out Germany for making energy deals, billions of dollars of energy deals with Russia. And then they're still asking America to protect them from Russia. And yet, meanwhile, they're making Russia rich again, which doesn't make any sense. And America's not going to be the world's piggy bank any longer, which I agree with. I mean, nobody wants them to get out of NATO. But these guys, if they're going to make these deals with Putin and make Russia rich, why are they taking our money to defend them? Here's what he said.
I think it's very sad when Germany makes a massive oil and gas deal with Russia where you're supposed to be guarding against Russia and Germany goes out and pays billions and billions of dollars a year to Russia. So we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting all of these countries. And then numerous of the countries go out and make a pipeline deal with Russia where they're paying billions of dollars into the coffers of Russia. So we're supposed to protect you against Russia, but they're paying billions of dollars to Russia. And I think that's very inappropriate. And the former chancellor of Germany is the head of the pipeline company that's supplying the gas. Ultimately, Germany will have almost 70% of their country controlled by Russia with natural gas. So you tell me, is that appropriate? I mean, I've been complaining about this from the time I got in. It should have never been allowed to have happened. But Germany is totally controlled by Russia.
Now, with the president saying all that, think about this. What does Putin possibly have on Donald Trump? Whatever happened to the dossier and the hookers urinating in the bed that Donald Trump would challenge Vladimir Putin this way? Because what the president was saying and warning Germany about 70% of their lifeblood of their economy, energy, is now coming from Russia. Now, if Germany begins to realize maybe Donald Trump is right, and of course, we have more natural gas than any country in the world that could supply our friends in Western Europe, that if they're allowed to become way too dependent on Russia for the bulk of their energy supply, all they're doing, if they stop that dependence and stop these billion-dollar deals with Russia, propping up Russia while we're paying the bulk of monies to defend them, it would end up crippling Putin and Russia's economy, which, by the way, which should, once and for all, put an end to all these ludicrous fake news claims that Donald Trump is somehow beholden to Vladimir Putin. Because if Germany cancels those energy deals with Russia, if they started to buy oil and gas from us, the United States, which is what the president's really negotiating here for you liberals that can't follow the bouncing ball, well, the country that stands to lose the most is Russia, by far. And that was the whole point of what the president said. And I noticed Pelosi and Schumer, if you're not kissing the ass of a dictator and they're so upset about Vladimir Putin, you know, they're now criticizing Trump for daring to criticize Germany's energy dependence that they are choosing with Russia. And yet we pay the bulk of the bill for NATO to defend our Western European allies. We don't mind paying our share. We don't mind helping. Nobody saying get out of NATO. But they've got to pony up some of their money, and maybe they don't want to prop up the very regime that they say that they fear the most with billions and billions of dollars in energy deals, because none of that makes any sense. And the president wasn't just talking about, you know, through his hat this morning, warning about this energy dependence on Russia and how it undermines the NATO alliance. We've already seen, if Vladimir Putin turns off that spigot, Western Europe is screwed, especially Germany. 70% of their energy resources, their lifeblood. All right, we continue from London. We've got Newt Gingrich today, Andy McCarthy today. We got Sarah Carter today, Greg Jarrett, Ron DeSantis, and much more. All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity's show. And we are in London. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It remains the same, 800-941-SEAN. We expect massive protests in London as the president now leaving Brussels, heading to England at this time. He's going to be in London. Oh, by the way, score World Cup is 1-1. And there's World Cup mania everywhere you go here where we are in London. You know, it's fascinating. I watched this today, and you're not going to hear much about this from the fake news Democratic media. But the head of NATO actually praised our president, President Trump. Why? For leading the way on defense spending. Now, the president is saying, all right, we don't mind paying our fair share, but why do we have to be the world's piggy bank and pay the bulk of monies? And that was one of the points he was making. If Germany's going to make billions and billions of dollars in deals with Vladimir Putin and Russia, and yet we're contributing a fortune, billions and billions, to defend Western Europe from Russia, why are they making Russia rich again? And why are they making themselves dependent, their economies, on Vladimir Putin and Russia? When, by the way, we have more natural gas energy sources that we could be sharing with our allies in Western Europe if given the chance. Anyway, the NATO Secretary General said that he agrees with President Trump on spending issues, and he thinks the president's leadership was responsible for making other NATO countries finally pay more. And he said it during a joint appearance. I agree with you. We have to make sure that our allies are investing more. After years of cutting defense budgets, they have now started to add billions to their defense budgets. And last year was the biggest increase in defense spending across Europe and Canada in that generation. And then Trump, when he asked why the spending increase happened last year, well, it's because of your leadership, Mr. President, because you carried the message, he said. And the president, by the way, this is good for us, we, the people. Why should we be writing? Why should we be the world's piggy bank when we bear, you know, look at our history. How many Americans have died fighting here in Europe, defending Western Europe over the years? What have we asked in return? Nothing. Maybe a plot to bury our national treasure, our sons and daughters. Look at Normandy as an example. All right, we'll tell you more about this. Also, why did Lisa Page decide to defy a congressional subpoena? We'll get to that. The DNC hysteria over the president's choice for the U.S. Supreme Court. As we continue from London, it's 1-1 in the World Cup. Great Britain versus Croatia. We'll have more straight ahead. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Toll-free telephone number as we broadcast today from London, expecting big, well, leftist, socialist, European protest here against the president as his week in Europe continues. Of course, it's going to culminate in a meeting with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. We will be there for that as well. It is 1-1 still in the World Cup. Oh, and by the way, Paul Manafort, he is now being taken to another jail. And by the way, the judge said, don't worry, you're going to a jail that knows how to handle terrorists, traitors, and spies. Okay, the whole case is about a 2005 to 2007 tax case involving some work he did with Ukraine, not with Russia. He's been convicted of nothing. Apparently, the outreach or the attempt to influence some witness in the case was the result of a 1-minute phone call that apparently never connected. And this is what happens, I guess, in America. You spend 23 hours alone in a cell. And even though it's the same Judge Ellis who had said, yeah, they're putting the screws to Manafort in the hopes that he sings or composes, meaning makes up whatever they want to hear so he can get out of trouble, in the hopes of either prosecuting or impeaching Donald Trump. Welcome to America. Great country. What a wonderful criminal justice system we have. How is it Hillary got away with everything? We know she violated the Espionage Act. We know she obstructed justice. It's the clearest case of obstruction I've ever seen in my entire life. And you just have to ask yourself, how is that possible? It makes one wonder. It really does. Look, you know, and I'm going to tell you another thing. It's like we live in this environment. So Jim Jordan, this is back, I guess, in the 80s, is an assistant coach at Ohio State. They just, well, we didn't see it, but he had to know. We didn't see anything, but Jim Jordan, he had to know about apparently some sex abuse happening with college kids that are on the wrestling team. And this individual at Ohio State, he says he didn't know. Paul Ryan finally today, yeah, he's a man of character. And actually, you know, Jim Jordan is saying this fake news. I didn't know. If I did know, I would have done something about it. In this environment we now live in, it's a literally destroy the other person environment. Look at what's happening to Judge Kavanaugh. Now, we had a chance to see his family the other night, and look what's happening to his family. It's unbelievable. Now his young daughters, those girls you saw, now have to watch and listen to the smear, the slanders, the lies, the character assassination of their father, the CYO coach, the guy that does carpooling on the weekends, tries to be a good person. There's a report out today that they're actually, they're paying for dirt, information, anything that they can find that they might try to use to railroad somebody. This is the sickest, most twisted environment. You see it on radio all the time. It doesn't matter who the radio host is. It could be anybody. You know, the media, look what he said. Well, they'll find one word, one sentence, one phrase, and they'll take it out of context. You can't make an honest comment without, you know, immediate branding of racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, dirty air, dirty water, kill grandma, kill the kids, which is all the Democrats have. We've had remarkable success in our country. In over 500 days, the economy has turned around dramatically. You know, we now have record unemployment in 14 states, record low employment for women in the workforce, Hispanic Americans, African Americans. We now have the highest labor participation rate we have ever seen. We have also had the greatest consumer confidence we have seen. You've seen record after record, and I'm not a big stock market person, but most people have at least a little bit of money in a stock market, maybe a 401k, whatever it happens to be. Record numbers there as well. It's literally after 8 years of the worst economy, the worst recovery, the lowest home ownership rate, the lowest labor participation rate, adding 13 million more Americans to food stamps, 8 million more to poverty. Things are beginning to turn around, but you wouldn't know any of this if, in fact, you watch any of these fake news networks. I'm not patting myself on the back. I actually always give thanks to all of you that listen to this program 3 hours a day, the watch TV, Hannity at night. But there's a reason when we were in Singapore in our coverage there that we were the number one rated television show on all of television. This past week when the president announced that, in fact, Brett Kavanaugh was a Supreme Court nominee. Again, Hannity was the number one show in all of television, not just all of cable, but ABC, NBC, CBS. And, you know, you ask yourself, this is something when I started out 23 years ago in cable, never would have happened. And I always know that you make this possible. But there's also a reason that people have tuned out CNN fake news. There's a reason they're not watching conspiracy TV, MSNBC. I mean, Chris Matthews' comments last, I mean, just so repugnant and revealing. There's a reason I think in a few years you're not going to see ABC News exist anymore or NBC News exist in its current form or CBS. There's no market for it. You can even see the morning so-called news shows have now become nothing but tabloid trash. And they, too, engage themselves in this character assassination type of reporting. It is now an industry. It's a business. How many years have I said to you, this loyal audience, the people that support people like me and Mark and Rush and great local hosts, Joe Pags, Lars Larson, all these great guys, Laura Ingraham, even people that don't like me, I don't care because I believe in number one in their freedom of speech. And at the end of the day, if we agree on 75-80% of issues to make the country a better place, you know, I can disagree with 20%. I disagree with Alan Dershowitz a lot, but he's dead right on what Donald Trump is doing. And I'm just saying there is, when you have billionaires throwing money, millions and millions and millions into organizations to monitor any conservative in the media today, if they say one word, one phrase, one sentence that they don't like, they deem politically incorrect, it's go in for the kill, start with the boycott, smear, slander, besmirch. And I go back to, what does the Democratic Party stand for today? Now, I know we've got these 6, 7 red state Democratic senators, and it's going to be fascinating for us to watch whether or not they follow Dick Durbin's advice and commit political suicide and go along with Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin and oppose Judge Kavanaugh, or whether or not they're going to start, at least for an election year, for one vote, whether or not they're going to try and attempt an election year conversion. Because by and large, there are no moderate Democrats anymore. Joe Manchin is not a moderate Democrat. He's a rank and file Schumer Democrat who votes the 90 plus percent of the time with Chuck Schumer. And the same with Claire McCaskill, the same with Heidi Heitkamp, the same with Bill Nelson, the same with Tester in Montana, same with this, what, Connolly in Indiana. They're all the same. And now they're going to, now they don't know what to do, because now they're afraid that they're going to lose their seats. Now they see the economy turning around. Now they see that the president's making progress on the world stage. Now they see that, you know, even the NATO leader, is the Secretary General, is praising the president because he single-handedly is getting Europe to pay more money. And really, if you really think deeply about it, for all those people that are offended at the president and what he said this morning, warning that Germany, their dependence on Russia for 70% of the natural gas, the lifeblood of their economy, has now put them in a position where they are weak and where Vladimir Putin holds all the cards. And if Vladimir Putin wants to create trouble in Western Europe, he has the power to do so. And Merkel's only response is, well, I have witnessed Germany under Soviet control. Well, you're giving the Soviets back control, and then you're demanding that America pay the bulk of money to defend Western Europe. And it doesn't make any sense. And I know people are upset. Well, the president wants more fair trade deals. He didn't say that he doesn't believe in free trade. He said he wants free and fair trade. And the fact that he's negotiating puts such fear into the hearts of the Democratic Party. Do they have a plan to make America stronger abroad? Do they have a plan to make America stronger from within? They don't support. They want open borders. They want Obamacare. They want their crumbs back. They don't want Justice Kavanaugh. They want a judicial activist. And at the end of the day, they just want to impeach and destroy Donald Trump, whatever the cost. It doesn't matter if the country is proceeding and succeeding in so many ways. You know, their first hope was, well, we'll get very angry and take to the streets and we'll have people talk about, I think, an awful lot about blowing up the White House. And that was right after the president got elected and inaugurated. Then they put all their hopes for 18 months and Robert Mueller's going to impeach him. Now they're putting all their energies into stopping anything this president does, even writing posters with little fill-in-the-blank names for whoever the president, you know, decided to run with for the U.S. Supreme Court. But I'm telling you, all of it's backfired. All of this hysteria. And just like we'll see in Europe, they protested Reagan. They loved Obama. Obama was the apology president. Obama was the capitulator. Obama was the appeaser. Reagan was peace through strength, trust, and verify. And the same with Donald Trump. He's a little rocket man, fire and fury. My button's bigger than yours. And now he's saying to NATO, pay your fair share, win out the world's piggy bank. And then Donald Trump from there also says, by the way, why are you being so stupid? Why are we paying all this money to defend against Russia? And you're giving Russia billions and billions of dollars. That's called, he's calling it as it is. It's refreshingly honest. And it's also strong, and it's projecting American leadership and strength on the world stage. I'm convinced if Donald Trump gave every American $10 million, they'd still hate Donald Trump. If he did every single thing they wanted, they'd still hate Donald Trump. There's nothing he can do in that sense. Anyway, you see the DNC now having completely botched their attack on Brett Kavanaugh. You know, they attacked him, and it's, you know, you got literally at one point they mixed up his photo with another one of the president's possible Supreme Court picks. Just like we see these groups, they literally had their posters made with a fill in the blank for whoever the president decided. You know, you've got now a big problem. Chuckie Schumer's out there saying, I will oppose Kavanaugh's nomination with everything I have, and I hope a bipartisan majority will do the same. The stakes are simply too high for anything else. Well, it turns out, right now, as of today, at least 9 Senate Democrats have decided that Schumer is on his own. New York Post today writing that 9 Senate Democrats up for re-election this year and states that Donald Trump won. They're all taking a wait-and-see attitude about rejecting Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the court, despite calls by Democratic leaders to block him at any cost. And by the way, the focus has been on 3 Democrats, by the way, that voted for Neil Gorsuch, only for political expediency. You got Manchin in West Virginia. His political fortunes are tied to this completely, although he still may lose, or Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Donnelly. They've all issued statements that they're going to vet Kavanaugh carefully. And by the way, so did Claire McCaskill and Bill Nelson down in Florida, McCaskill of Missouri. They want to support Schumer. That's what they probably do if they were just reelected last year. Whether they were able to do it, we'll see over time. Then you got NBC fake news spreading a conspiracy that the fix was in, that Justice Kennedy and Trump, that they made a special deal. No, that never happened. Or Keith Ellison not ruling out that Democrats are going to try to impeach the president's Supreme Court choice. You know, elections do have consequences. You know, one report out there suggesting that Kavanaugh used a bad word in response to Hillary Clinton when he was, I guess, during a former state of Bill Clinton's former State of the Union address. What was he, 20 years old, if it's even true? You've got Hillary Tide Group launching a Stop Kavanaugh website within an hour of the Trump administration. They had one prepared for everybody that was on that shortlist. That I can tell you. All right, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. Now, we also have Lisa Page decided to defy a congressional subpoena. We're going to get to that in just a second. We'll check in with Newt Gingrich. We got Ron DeSantis of Florida. He's going to check in today. Sarah Carter and Greg Jarrett. Sarah Carter's here in London with us. We're going to have the best coverage. There's going to be a lot going on this week, a lot of protests expected, and then we'll be in Helsinki when the president meets with Vladimir Putin. We'll have all this coverage tonight from London as Hannity is on the road tonight. We hope you'll join us 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on the Fox News channel. It'll be, I think, 2 a.m. here in London. Well, at least it's not 12 hours. It's 9 a.m. here in Singapore, 9 p.m. back in America, which is how I started every show. Oh, we got people here laughing. We got Sweet Baby James here. Oh, wait, I can't believe that Sleeping Beauty is still awake. You look pretty charged up today. Anything go wrong? Anything happen today? All right, as we continue, we're in London today. Yeah, if you could lower that, Jason. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. It's extra time. It is Croatia and England now playing. 1-1, semifinals, World Cup. And being in London, it is all that anybody here cares about today. But with that said, we did have the president take on the leadership of NATO and saying that America is not going to be the piggy bank for NATO and that other countries need to pay their fair share. And the president rightly pointing out that, you know, with Germany, America is paying the bulk of NATO payments and Germany's been behind a lot over the years, and now they're turning over 70% of their energy needs to Russia and Vladimir Putin, and meanwhile, we're paying all this money for defense. And, of course, we got the issue of Judge Kavanaugh and the left's attacks on him, which have been unrelenting since the second that Donald Trump announced it, and Lisa Page defying that congressional subpoena, all happening today. While we're in London, he's holding down the fort in Washington, D.C. He's the author of this New York Times bestseller. You want to know about Donald Trump's success and also the challenges he faces now moving forward? Well, it's called Trump's America, The Truth About Our Nation's Great Comeback. Newt Gingrich, another New York Times bestseller. How are you?
I'm doing great. I don't know if you've mentioned it, by the way, but the London Times today has an ad signed by 9 senior British generals and admirals, all of them saying that Trump is right about defense and outlining a series of 8 major changes the British should make in order to be more effective. I mean, it is the most completely pro-Trump thing I think I've seen in Europe since he got elected. And here are, you know, 8, these are senior British officers in a way that's really quite remarkable.
The president's warning to Germany, if and with all the talk about, well, Vladimir Putin must have something on Donald Trump after, you know, all the fake news that he's beholden in some way to Vladimir Putin. If, in fact, Angela Merkel were to listen to Donald Trump and the billions of dollars of deals that they made with Russia and Vladimir, and again, we're spending all this money in large part to protect against Russia for Western Europe and our allies in Western Europe, that would end up crippling Russia's entire economy, which means that the biggest loser, if Germany listens, would be Vladimir Putin. And if I'm Putin, I'm thinking we can't, you know, this is a real clear present danger to their economy.
Well, I think he's pointing out the hypocrisy of the German position, which is they would like to lecture us while doing everything they can to make themselves richer. But they're not about to take any risk with Iran because they want to sell things to Iran. They're not going to take any real risk with Russia because they're relying on the Russian ability to provide them with natural gas. And I think that President Trump is exactly right to stand up to Chancellor Merkel and point out the hypocrisy behind her pious statements.
Do you agree with me that the parallels to Reagan, for example, we're expecting protests here in London as the week unfolds and maybe even after this match tonight, in the sense that people would be angry if Great Britain lost, if England lost. But I watch everything that's happening, and it reminds me, it's very reminiscent of Reagan, the evil empire, tear down this wall, the predictions that Reagan would start a nuclear holocaust, Donald Trump, fire and fury, little rocket man, my button's bigger than your button and mine works, and now telling NATO that they've got to start all of the alliance nations, and even the Secretary General of NATO agreeing with President Trump that these nations need to step up and that it can't be on the United States, and warning Germany of their dependence on energy with Putin. It seems to me that the parallels are uncanny.
Well, you know, Craig Shirley is the most authoritative biographer of Reagan. And I asked Craig exactly this, and he came back and said that that's exactly right, that the hostility in 1981-82 to Reagan in Europe, funded in part by the Soviet Union, which was the primary funder of the various peace groups, that hostility was probably greater than the hostility to Trump today. And I think it's easy to look back and forget that. But Reagan had to have courage and had to persevere despite what was happening and despite the efforts on the other side. And I think that there's a lot of parallels.
Yeah. Why is it Europe had a love affair with Obama, who went on an American apology tour, and the same Obama that tried, you know, to bribe Iran, of which some of these nations were a part of, and literally bribe their way to peace?
Because he represented them. I had a good friend who wrote me and said, maybe the reason that big crowd in Berlin greeted Obama so happily is they figured out he was more for them than he was for the United States. I mean, the Europeans were desperate for the Iranian deal because they want to sell goodies to Iran. This is not complicated. And the Europeans like to sound pious while filling up their wallets. But I think that we need to understand that there's a huge gap. The Germans are the worst, but frankly, there's a whole problem with the European Union and the folks who sit there in Brussels and run the bureaucracy. And you're seeing it start to be really under pressure from Poland, from Hungary, from Slovenia, from Italy, as people are just fed up with the way they've been exploited largely on behalf of Germany.
You know, one of the things, I think this is one great opportunity for the American economy and the American worker. I remember you started a campaign right here on this radio program, drill here, drill now, pay less. We have more natural gas that would satisfy our energy needs for hundreds of years, but also we could export that gas to our Western European allies, which is a greater, far less a threat to them than Vladimir Putin getting angry one day and turning off the spigot to 70% of, you know, Germany's energy needs in their economy, the lifeblood of their economy.
Of course, that's where Trump, once again, is showing that he's very clever, because what he's posed to Merkel is quit buying Russian gas and buy American liquefied natural gas, which would be a double win for us. It would weaken Putin and strengthen our economy. And, you know, I think there may be enough pressure now. And it'll be very interesting to see Trump with Putin in Helsinki, because the whole question here of how this evolves, I think, is very real. And I think that Trump is feeling his way forward. I think he thinks that the last administration so badly mishandled what we're doing in the world that every single day he's sort of breaking the old rules and trying to find ways to better represent the United States. And as I said, when you have a whole group of senior British generals and admirals take out a full-page ad in the London Times to say Donald Trump is right, something really profound is starting to happen.
I think you're right, and I agree 100%. It's just going to be interesting to watch this unfold, but the latest media freakout is, oh, my gosh, Donald Trump said NATO needs to pay their fair share. And it's really stupid that if we're paying all this money in defense to do deals with Vladimir Putin so he controls 70% of your energy. And, oh, by the way, America has energy resources, too, that we'd love to export to our friends and our allies in Europe, and that would be extraordinarily helpful, and it'll be good for the national security. It's win, 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 win. But you see the freak out. You see the panic among the left. It's almost like they're programmed.
Well, they are programmed. Look, they had a vision of how the world was going to work. They were going to sell out to the bad guys. They were going to cut nice little deals. Everybody was going to be happy. They were going to lie about what was going on. You know, I always said that John Kerry, as Secretary of State, would go to any four-star hotel in the world to eat at any five-star restaurant and think of it as negotiating.
Think of the Grey Poupon commercial with him.
That's exactly right. And so now you have an administration where the Secretary of State graduated first in his class at West Point. So you can imagine the difference in tone. And that's by the way, why the North Korean press went after Secretary Pompeo the other day, because he arrived and remember, the North Koreans were used to things like the Secretary of State Albright under Clinton dancing with the dictator, Kim Il-sung, the father of the current dictator. And so they were used to somehow being able to lie to us and have us come in and pretend everything was okay because we didn't want to be unpleasant. And I suspect that there was a certain amount of West Point toughness in Pompeo's briefings of the North Koreans, and I think they're genuinely shocked by it. Well, Trump is doing the same thing to Merkel, except he's doing it in public. As an American who lived in Europe when his dad served in the army in Germany and France, studied in Brussels for a year doing my dissertation, currently, as you know, residing with Callista in Rome, where she's the ambassador of the Vatican, I have a reasonable sense of all this stuff, and I'm just telling you, it is great to see an American president who actually thinks American interests ought to come first.
I couldn't agree with you anymore. As we look now towards what's happening with Vladimir Putin, it is amazing that if Donald Trump in any way thought Vladimir Putin had anything on him, I don't think we would have heard any of that today. And I think that's the greatest evidence he's willing to take on Putin with the same... Sure. A frank, straightforward, America-first advocacy that he always shows.
You know, I'm beginning to think that at some point early in his life, he read a book on tough love and took it to heart. He can really like you and still be very tough with you because he thinks that the truth really matters. And that's a great deal of what I think we're seeing. I will pass on, by the way, my daughter, Kathy Lubbers, who you know well, called me today and she said, you think there's any chance that Trump's going to decide to hop over and actually be with Putin for the final game in the World Cup. I don't think it'll happen, but I thought it was a very interesting idea on her part.
Oh, that would the left would freak out. They're his best friend. There's Putin, his best friend, and he's breaking up NATO, the alliance, which he's not doing, but that's their lie.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Bob Goodlatte, the House Judiciary Committee chairman, said today, because Lisa Page decided to defy her congressional subpoena, he said it appears that she has something to hide. She plans to blatantly defy a congressional subpoena by refusing to appear before for her deposition. She has known for months that the House Judiciary Committee has sought her testimony as part of our joint investigation with the Oversight Committee into decisions made by the Justice Department in 2016. She has no excuse for her failure to appear, and Lisa Page is a key witness, and it is critical that she come before our committees and answer questions on the investigations. Why do I think that if I deleted subpoenaed emails and used bleach bit and broke up devices, or if I failed to show up and defied a congressional subpoena, why do I think that you'd be maybe visiting me in jail with a cake, with a file in it?
Well, look, I think I don't know that I'd bring you a file, because then I'd be in jail next year. But I do.
Well, at least I have somebody to talk to. Maybe the other people there wouldn't be friendly to me. Look where Paul Manafort is.
I was going to say, unless they treat us like Manafort and we end up in a solitary confinement, quote, for our protection, if you want to believe that.
Yeah, 23 hours a day, no conviction on a 2005 tax case.
By the way, former police commissioner Bernie Kerik wrote a very, very good article today about all of this just being prosecutorial effort to pressure people into breaking and doing whatever the prosecutor wants. It's a very compelling article and well worth people reading. Now, look, I think, first of all, when she does show up, she's going to plead the fifth. And that's going to say to the average American watching all this is beginning to get the correct idea that the corruption in the Justice Department was so deep at the very top, and that these people are so guilty that they're legitimately scared because they all broke the law. I mean, all of these folks are in danger of going to jail. And I think that that's why you're seeing this dance. And my prediction is if they do coerce her into showing up, she'll simply take the fifth, unless they grant her immunity.
And then that could open up a whole new area of investigation that perhaps we never thought of. I do know one piece of news that is coming out soon about Lisa Page, and it's not very good for her. All right, as we roll along, Newt Gingrich with us. Go to Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere, Trump's America, the truth about our nation's great comeback. All right, the election, I say it's the most important in our lifetime, and I see the Democrats are running on nothing except fear and destroying Trump, keeping Obamacare, open borders, stopping Judge Kavanaugh and wanting their crumbs back. I don't see anything else.
Well, their level of hysteria is such that they're really, I think, running the risk of alienating most Americans. If you ask yourself, is this really the kind of America we want to become? And you watch the kind of bullying and hostility, chasing people down at restaurants, throwing stuff on a kid for wearing a teenager for wearing a Make America Great Again hat. I mean, this is a Democratic Party which is going to alienate itself from a vast number of Americans before this is over.
Can they win, though, with nothing? They offer zero that I can think of.
Well, if the Republicans are incompetent enough, they can win. But if the Republicans methodically go out there, tell the truth, for example, about Senator Feinstein's open border bill, which every single Democratic senator co-sponsored, and make him held accountable for being for open borders, which would be a total disaster, make them be held accountable for voting against the tax cuts, which led to the lowest black unemployment in American history, the lowest Hispanic unemployment in American history, make them be accountable for demanding a government-run health system, which would bankrupt us and destroy millions of jobs. If we do our job, they will lose this fall in a catastrophic election that will shock everybody, and it will be as big a shock as election night 2016.
All right, Newt Gingrich, his book, Amazon.com. Yes, Trump's America will continue. Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, Ron DeSantis. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. It is 2-1 Croatia. The game's about to be over. That means, yes, England loses. It's not going to be good here as we broadcast from London, expecting a lot of anti-Trump protests. President wrapping up the NATO summit in Brussels, heading right here tomorrow where we are. We'll have full coverage. Hannity tonight from London. One of the breaking stories, this just broke right now. We have congressional sources now confirming to Fox News that the House Judiciary Committee is now prepping a letter to send to the attorney Lisa Page. She's the one that decided to defy the congressional subpoena earlier today, and kind of beginning to look like the walls are closing in on the two Trump-hating FBI lovebirds, you know, the ones that, in part, they weren't alone, conspired with higher-ups to hijack the 2016 presidential election. We'll stop him. We have an insurance policy. He's loathsome. And so much more. We're going to hurry this Russia investigation. We're going to write an exoneration before an investigation. That's all struck. And, of course, Lisa Page. By the way, I know other news that should be breaking this week about Lisa Page. I've been sworn to secrecy, and I shall keep my sources confidential, being the good talk show host slash journalist that I am. Anyway, Fox is told the letter's going out momentarily. The letter will give Page the option of appearing at the public hearing that is scheduled tomorrow. Remember, Peter Strzok is going to testify, supposedly, before cameras tomorrow. That's all going to be the first time we get to hear Peter Strzok. Or she can come on Friday in a closed-door deposition that she was slated to do today. Page is under subpoena. Fox is told that if she doesn't appear either tomorrow with Strzok or Friday, that the House Judiciary Committee will begin preparations to hold her in contempt of Congress. By the way, if they don't do it, it's not going to mean a thing. They have no choice. Otherwise, I mean, imagine if you defied a congressional subpoena. You didn't show up. No, I'm not showing up. And as Bob Goodlatte had issued a statement after Page decided to defy the committee's subpoena, it appears Page has something to hide. She plans to blatantly defy a congressional subpoena by refusing to appear for her deposition. She has known for months that the House Judiciary Committee has sought her testimony as part of our joint investigation with the Oversight Committee into decisions made by the Justice Department in 2016. She has no excuse for her failure to appear. Lisa Page is a key witness. It's critical that she comes before our committees to answer questions as part of our investigation. Quote, we will use all tools at our disposal to obtain her testimony. Americans across the country are alarmed at the bias exhibited by top officials at the Justice Department and the FBI. It is imperative that Congress conduct vigorous oversight to ensure this never happens again. As far as contempt, this would start with a resolution at the committee level. If approved by the committee, the resolution will go to the House floor for a full House vote for them to consider. That would happen probably sometime next week. Anyway, joining us now. Oh, and by the way, somebody has to wonder if she's going to sing, if she's going to compose. Joining us now, we have Freedom Caucus member, Congressman Ron DeSantis, now a gubernatorial candidate for the great state of Florida. As Rick Scott now tries to make his way to the Senate, which I think he's probably going to end up doing. And I actually had the opportunity to do some town halls, three of them last Monday or Monday past with Ron DeSantis and Matt Gaetz talking about a variety of issues. And it was an honor to appear with you in Tampa, in Pensacola, and, of course, in Fort Myers. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Sean. You did a great job. I think everyone in all those crowds, they were ready to go. You know, storm Havana if we ask them to do that. So good job.
You say that as a joke, and I know people are going to take it seriously. So to everybody in the liberal fake news media out there, Congressman Ron DeSantis was telling a joke. It was fascinating. You know, I mentioned at one point during one of the when I was speaking at one point and the crowd started chanting, lock her up. And I just stopped and paused for a second. I said, wow, this must be what it feels like to be Donald Trump.
That's right. Well, look, Sean, I think that the whole thing you just sketched out, we're in a position now where are we going to actually follow through and do what the American people expect us to do, which is to hold people like Lisa Page accountable. We really should be holding her in contempt right now and then forcing her to come to get out of contempt. And you know, my fear is we wait till Friday. We need the full House voting by this week. We can't just keep putting this off. If Sean Hannity got subpoenaed or John Q. Public got subpoenaed and you didn't follow through with it, you would face consequences. But somehow people that are high up in the swamp, they're able to just go without any accountability. And that's really on Congress for us to start turning the screws on these people. So I've been saying we need to do this for a long time. I know you've been saying the same thing. But if there's no accountability, then the Lisa Pages and the Peter Strzoks of the world end up getting away with it.
Most people, Congressman, don't realize that Lisa Page has already testified at length, if I'm not mistaken, before the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, and a lot of that evidence obviously contributed to the fact and ultimately resulted in the fact that the FBI Deputy Director, Andrew McCabe, was fired, not to mention a criminal referral to the U.S. Attorney in D.C. for McCabe's possible prosecution. And Page's lawyer revealed that her IG testimony lasted more than 36 hours. Lisa's already cooperated with multiple investigations underway in Congress and at the Department of Justice. She's provided more than 36 hours of testimony to the DOJ's Office of Inspector General and has cooperated fully with other congressional committees. And she's describing the committees as bullying tactics and unnecessary. Well, why doesn't she want to testify before Bob Goodlatte's committee, considering she was the one that was hearing information that they're going to use their power to stop Donald Trump from becoming president? What was the insurance policy about? And what other nefarious activities could she possibly have been involved in?
Well, yeah. So, and also, the IG, that's great, but the IG did not do all the FISA stuff or the whole collusion. And they talked about some of the text messages, obviously, but that was mostly focused on the Hillary case. And remember, Lisa Page was the one who was telling Peter Strzok, her boyfriend, hey, when you go in to interview Hillary, don't go in with guns blazing. She's going to be the next president. So she was trying to basically ensure that Hillary had a cakewalk for that interview. And then when you get to the whole collusion narrative that Peter Strzok started, I mean, she's going back and forth, you know, this guy can't be president, Kenny, he can't win, you know, this and that. And she was involved with giving advice about those FISA applications, the FISA application for Carter Page that was based in part on the Steele dossier. So her involvement in this really was broad. She had a lot of she's got a lot of knowledge. And then obviously she's sending these text messages, which just destroy the credibility of this whole collusion case from the start.
Do you have any doubt yourself that the fix was in? Peter Strzok obviously was the one that interviewed Hillary Clinton, and he and James Comey were writing the exoneration in May. They didn't interview her or 17 other witnesses till July. 3 days later, they ended up exonerating her. Do you have any doubt Hillary violated the Espionage Act, mishandled and destroyed classified and top secret information, and then she obstructed justice with the emails deleted and bleach bit and busting up devices and removing SIM cards? Do you have any doubt that they put the fix in for her?
No, I mean, she obviously was grossly negligent with how she handled classified information. She violated the terms of the statute. That's why they had to do this dance about intent to harm the United States, which is not in the statute. She also, I think, violated 18 U.S.C. 1024, which, you know, because the exposure of the classified information was knowing, in the sense that she knowingly set up a rogue server knowing the type of information that she was going to be privy to as Secretary of State. So that being compromised on the classified side, that was reasonably foreseeable result of her conduct. And yes, this whole bleach bit, I mean, imagine they try to investigate Donald Trump for firing Comey and saying, ooh, you obstructed justice. And yet you have emails that are under congressional subpoena. And 3 weeks after the subpoena hits, you go and you bleach bit this server and destroy the emails. And then there was never any inquiry into about obstruction of justice. They were handing out immunity agreements to people like Pagliano and some of these other people. So, yes, it was a farcical investigation, and she got away with something that the average American would not have.
Let me ask you on the other side of it, are you convinced beyond any doubt that for political purposes that the power and use of the weaponry that we give these intelligence officials and the FBI and others, that it was used for political purposes to stop Donald Trump from ever becoming president?
Well, that's the indication that I have. I think we all believe that what Strzok was doing was not on the up and up, but that's one of the reasons why we want these documents. I mean, we want to know, when you opened up the investigation, you know, what's the paper trail with that? What do you have? What about the spying? Was the FBI asking people like Stefan Halper or others to try to make contact with Trump's campaign? We need answers to all those questions, and the fact that they refuse to give answers to those questions tells me that the answers are probably not favorable to the Justice Department and FBI. And when you have a guy like Peter Strzok who opens up a counterintelligence investigation against the opposition party's campaign. And then 8 days later, is texting his lover, Lisa Page, saying Trump can't be president because we'll stop him. And then the following week sends the infamous insurance policy text message where we can't take the risk of Trump winning. We need an insurance policy. So that is not normal activity, Sean. And if it was a normal investigation, I don't think you would have that type of text message traffic back and forth that shows the bias.
Let me ask you about the upcoming elections. And I was speaking with Newt Gingrich earlier, and I think the 2018 elections now are the most important midterms in our life because this is what I see as the Democratic agenda. One, they want to impeach Trump, but they're telling people like Maxine Waters, stop saying impeach 45 over and over again. Second thing they want is obviously they don't want a border wall. They want open borders. The third thing is Chuck Schumer mentioned the other day, wants to keep Obamacare. On top of that, they want their crumbs back. Nancy Pelosi called them crumbs, the tax cuts, and they want to stop Justice Kavanaugh from ever sitting on the Supreme Court. I can't think of one positive thing that they're advocating that would be for the betterment of the American people.
I agree. I think that the whole Trump presidency has caused them to just go so off the rails. They're out of touch with rank and file, hardworking, taxpaying Americans. Those used to be the people like 50, 60 years ago the Democrats claimed they represented. But right now, I mean, they put the interests of illegal immigrants over American citizens, their reckless policies about the border and supporting the abolition of ICE and basically letting people come in illegally with no sanction. You look at they want to raise people's taxes, and you have somebody, a family that gets a $2,500 tax cut, and you have a rich liberal like Nancy Pelosi saying that that's crumbs and that it'd be better off in the government's coffers. So I think that their reaction to President Trump's administration has just taken them so far out of the mainstream. And so these midterm elections, people say, oh, the party in power usually gains. But most of the time, the party in power isn't totally off their rocker. And so I think with unemployment under 4%, with a lot of positive things happening in the world in terms of foreign policy, I think Republicans have a good record. And I think a lot of people who voted for Trump are going to want to come out and say, you know what, he's keeping his promises. We want to make sure that he has partners in the Congress and in governor's mansions so that the Democrats aren't able to kneecap the progress that he's making.
Let me ask you this. I was in Florida, and I got to know your governor really well. And I've said many times in this program, I know you're part of the Freedom Caucus. And I honestly, without the Freedom Caucus, I'm so disappointed in so many Republicans, and I think they're the ones that keep their promises. But putting that aside, I got to know Rick Scott really well because he'd always be up in New York and he'd always stop by my radio studios because he was literally advocating and meeting with businesses and trying to entice them to move to Florida so they wouldn't have the excessive regulation and taxation of states like New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California. You want to be the next governor. How do you build a better Florida economy when I think you guys have now record low unemployment at this moment?
Yeah, no, Governor Scott's done a great job. I think we're in a different spot with me coming in than where Rick was. Rick had to clean up Charlie Crist's mess, which was a real disaster. I'll be able to come in and very likely on the first day have three appointments to the state Supreme Court to replace liberal justices. So that will end judicial activism in Florida in one day. And the court has been a big impediment to upholding things we need to do like tort reform, school choice, welfare reform that'll help make Florida more competitive. I think you have to make sure you're keeping taxes down. I want to cut our business tax because I think that that'll make us even more competitive. But once this SALT change with state and local deduction being eliminated, once people really see that show up in their taxes next year when they're filing,
you mean like,
Sean,
like my taxes,
like
yeah.
Your taxes.
Thank you very much.
I think people are going to look at that and just the calculations. I mean, you're already seeing it, but I think the next governor, has an opportunity to really capitalize off just how bad some of the policies are in some of these other states. I talk to people. There's not a day that goes by I don't talk to somebody who's at least thinking about either just retiring to Florida, who has a lot of means and can potentially do business here, or actually bringing a business down to Florida. So we have a chance, I think, to really take Florida's economy to the next level. And our goal should be a healthy competition, which Governor Scott had with Texas. But we need to overtake Texas. We need to be number one in Florida. And I think we can get it done with good policies.
All right. Thank you, Congressman. Ron DeSantis of Florida, gubernatorial candidate. It was fun to do those town halls. Thank you for having us. When we come back, we have Sarah Carter is going to check in with us. Why didn't Lisa Page show up? And will Peter Strzok show up tomorrow as we continue from London? Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern from London. And I'll tell you more about that as we continue. And we're expecting widespread protests here coming up tomorrow and Friday. All right, news roundup and information overload. Yeah, England lost against Croatia 2-1, and it's not pretty here in London. We're in London. We're glad you're with us. We expect protests either today and tomorrow or Friday for sure as Donald Trump makes his way from Brussels and is now headed here to London as we speak. And we have all the left-wing radical socialists of Europe that want to descend upon London with a major protest. We'll be covering that. We'll also be covering the president's meeting with Vladimir Putin, which has taken place in Helsinki, and we will be there tonight, Hannity at 9 from London. And we're expecting a lot of fireworks here in the next couple of days. It should be very interesting. We're also covering the president. What did he do? Told NATO leaders, pay your fair share. America is not this piggy bank anymore. And also, rightly warning Angela Merkel and Germany, why are we paying all of this money for our NATO alliance and you're signing billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars of deals with Vladimir Putin and allowing him to have 70% plus control of your energy resources? All you're doing is making Russia rich again, and you're certainly putting yourself in a compromised national security position. And the war, you know, everybody in the media just hyperventilating. Donald Trump went to NATO and he said they need to pay their fair share. Yeah, because America has been the world's piggy bank and no president has said enough is enough at any point. And by the way, America is willing to pay its fair share. We don't want to get out of the NATO alliance. We certainly, you know, don't know what the future holds. It's smart. The NATO General Secretary or Secretary General literally praised Donald Trump for getting other countries to step up and start paying more money. As a matter of fact, billions of dollars and more money. And what the president is also reminding Angela Merkel and Germany is, well, America has more natural gas, liquefied gas, than you would ever be able to use in 100 years. And we're not a hostile nation to you like Russia is. And if Donald Trump, by the way, was so compromised by Vladimir, well, I don't think he would have said the things that he said today, which puts to rest this notion, this paranoia, this witch hunt that we have now watched the media peddle to the American people for 18 months. And also the war against Judge Kavanaugh continues. Anyways, we continue for London. Now, we have an update where it appears Fox News investigative reporter Catherine Herridge reporting just now that Lisa Page may actually be forced to testify simultaneously tomorrow with her FBI lovebird boyfriend, Peter Strzok, while sitting across the witness table from each other in the same hearing room. House investigators are now frustrated with the way that Strzok answered some of their questions during last week's closed-door session, complaining when they asked him about Page's text, he would deflect the question by saying, I have no idea what she meant by that. You'll have to ask her. So the thinking is that they may now try to get both Strzok and Page in the same room and have them respond to the same question. In other words, they can't say, I don't know what he or she meant, and that little tactic to avoid answering questions. They're the ones, of course, that said, oh, we're going to stop Trump. They're the ones with the insurance policy. They're the ones, oh, let's hurry up the investigation on Russia. And, of course, Strzok at the heart of putting the fix in as it relates to Hillary Clinton. So we got a lot of news that is coming. Also, a letter going out from the House Judiciary Committee to Lisa Page for the fact that she didn't show up today for her subpoena and she defied a congressional subpoena earlier today, basically saying you better show up with Strzok tomorrow or behind closed doors on Friday or, yeah, we will hold you in contempt. And apparently the House means that. All right. As part of all of this coverage in London, we have Sarah Carter here with us, Fox News contributor, investigative reporter. I got to say a very special thank you to Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. And don't forget, less than 2 weeks now, the release of his soon to be number one New York Times bestseller. This is the definitive book on this entire scandal, and the title basically covers all of it, the Russia hoax, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton and frame Donald Trump. And I, by By the way, available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Hannity.com. But I thank him because we did have a little bit of technical difficulty, you know, just before we got on the air today. Well, to say the least. And Greg Jarrett was graciously standing by in case we couldn't get on the air. Let's just say it was a madhouse for about
pandemonium.
Sarah Carter's here on the ground with us. Oh, we got Sleeping Beauty here. Then you got Sunshine over there, and you got my my favorite sweet baby James, who actually was the only one that had a sense of humor like I did today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, anyway. Hey, Sarah, welcome to London. Greg, thank you for doing that for us today. We really appreciate it.
Happy
what
to
do you
do
make,
it.
Greg? What do you make? Go ahead, yeah?
I was going to tell jokes, pose riddles to kill time. Well, you know, you got the whole
thanks
thing up. And too bad it's radio. I was going to start taking off clothes and stuff, you know.
That's a little bit too much for anybody to handle.
Too much info, huh?
Well, let me give you TMI on another issue. So we were planning on doing it from one particular hotel, and then they got one of these, you know, hipster, hip-ditty-doodity, you know, places, hotels in London, and it's like you walk through the halls, you can't see.
It's dark.
Pitch black dark.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Then you get to the room, and they have plates of naked women all
on
over the
wall.
Place.
Yeah.
All over the wall.
Everywhere. Naked women and shoes.
Naked women in high-heeled black shoes. That's what's on the
we
walls.
Don't even understand what's happening here.
And by the way, this is where Sleeping Beauty and Linda are staying on this trip.
Yeah, we're not.
I'm in another hotel, thank goodness. A normal hotel with a normal room and a normal suite. And it doesn't have the, little kits that they have, you know, sprinkled all around the room, apparently. By the way, the bed is like an inch above the ground. I couldn't even sit on the stupid thing. I've never seen anything like it. And that's where we've been broadcasting from all day.
That's a hotel you pay by the hour.
If you have any bed. If you have any back right? trouble, you just can't get off that bed.
Yeah, you would never. I'd never get down on the bed. Forget it. All right. That laugh is out of control. You got to stop. That's, you know. All right. Well, that's been our day today. So here's the. We'll tell the audience what happened. So we're at the other hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're all set up to broadcast today. And then I come running down about an hour and a half before game time. And I just want to check in with everybody. I'm fully prepared. I got my stacks of stuff. I want to make sure I know where the buttons are. I want to make sure my headphone levels are good. I want to make sure we're ready to go. And then all of a sudden I see people yelling and screaming.
I was not yelling or screaming.
Okay.
Linda was shaking.
She was visibly shaking.
Screaming
shaken.
At literally losing her mind. And what's the first thing that I said? I said, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine.
If it goes, if it doesn't, it doesn't.
You're so nice. No, the first thing he said was, how real is the reality of me actually getting on the air today?
I missed that part.
By the way, that's not none of that is true.
That's how you talk to me.
All right, wait. Here's sweet baby James, my brother-in-law, who I love dearly, who's married to my sister. Go ahead.
You had a little smile. You were the calm in the eye of the storm.
Thank you.
You were trying to settle everyone down.
And what did I say? What did I say? Sleeping Beauty.
What do we expect your brother-in-law to say?
No. Here's Sleeping Beauty. Did I say it's all okay?
Yeah, totally fine.
No, you got to talk. It's radio.
No, he can't talk. I do all the talking.
Oh, he can't talk.
Isn't that how I sound all the time? I just tell everyone what to do. I cut the cucumbers. Do it this way or else.
That's pretty much captures it all. I mean, that's all true. That is all true. So there's so much equipment in these big, huge, I mean, they probably weigh 300 pounds each. So we come with four of these massive, huge, bulky suitcases.
I mean, we're running with them.
Yeah, no.
On wheels.
In Piccadilly Square in the middle of a soccer match.
Why don't you just give them my location? Why don't you just tell everybody where I am?
Well, you're not here.
Because there's going to be an anti-Trump protest in the city. You think they love me here?
First of all, the protest was already scheduled to be here, so don't think it's here
for
you.
Why do you think we're here? I'm not here for my health.
So what am I giving away? What are we arguing
about? I'm not telling people.
Oh,
I could be in
God.
The countryside for crying out loud.
Yeah, you're so calm and gathered
right now.
Calm and collected.
All right, now Sarah Carter did witness this. And what did I say, Sarah? You be the arbiter.
It's true. You said, hey, look, don't worry. If it goes, it goes. If it doesn't, no
right.
big deal. We'll work it out.
I said, it's fine. It's not going to be a big deal. Try
again,
your best,
but
that's
hear,
it.
I didn't hear the very first conversation.
All right, stop standing up for your BFF because that's baloney.
I'm going to mea culpa here. You were very, very nice.
Very, very nice. You were we back in Singapore?
First of all,
first of all, you were very nice.
Oh, you were very understanding.
I didn't say a word. You know what I did? I shut my mouth.
You said a lot of words, but none of them were abrasive or mean.
No, I didn't say a lot of words. I said, how can I help?
You're louder now than you were during the crisis.
Of course,
what's the matter
with you? The crisis is I'm now back to being myself. You know what the worst thing I could have done?
You know what? I take back my mea culpa. You forget about it.
You know what the worst thing you can do in a crisis, Sarah? Is
what?
Put pressure on people. They're trying their best. I saw everybody was trying hard. I know nobody. It was nobody's fault.
Even people that didn't know us were trying to get the equipment here.
Linda, I handed out more $20 bills today to help people to help us.
And they were willing to help.
And
once
they
saw
to
those
help.
$20 bills, yeah. They were like moving
by
that
the way,
luggage.
Poor Greg
right?
Jarrett, who's been on hold since, 3 o'clock Eastern time. And by the way, it's only 10:17 at night here, Greg. And we're doing this for the next day. We'll get to serious issues in a minute. What are you thinking hearing all of this? When did you first hear you might be doing the whole show?
You guys sound like an old married couple or trio that have been, haggling and bickering for years and decades. And,
wait a minute. There's six of us in this room.
Okay. You're all married together.
Tom,
it's one of those Scandinavian group marriages.
Beauty. Sweet Baby James. And
did
these
you say
two,
Sweeping Beauty?
Sleeping
Booty?
Beauty. Sleeping Beauty. That's our friend Bees. His name. I can't give his name on the air because he will get in trouble, apparently, for some reason. So I'm like hiding whatever secrets he has. And Sweet Baby. And then we got Thomas here with us. And he was calm as a cucumber. He and I just kept looking at each other saying, okay, whatever. Let's just chill out. You want a beer? But Greg, you were willing to do all that. We do appreciate it. What do you think what's going on with the House Judiciary?
Well, look, a contempt citation from the House of Representatives is a sanction without a punishment. It means absolutely nothing. Just laugh at Eric Holder and his experience. When I was a lawyer, and I'm still a lawyer, but when I was a practicing lawyer and somebody defied my subpoena, I went immediately to the judge who would issue a bench warrant based on a contempt citation. The person would be arrested, thrown in the hoosegow without their toothbrush to spend several days until they complied. Now, that's what should happen here. When you issue a subpoena in personam, you're supposed to appear in person, and it's not optional. You don't get to RSVP, oh, gee, I'm washing my hair that day. No, you got to show up. And sometimes lawyers issue a subpoena, the timing of which is so that they don't review documents. Why does she need to review documents? That's not her right. She's not entitled to that.
No. Don't they know that a D.C. judge is probably going to go with her and not the law?
Yeah, and her lawyer probably told, don't worry about a contempt. There isn't a federal judge in Washington, D.C. that would enforce it because they're all liberals, and this comes from a Republican-controlled committee, so don't sweat it. That's exactly how the conversation went.
Sarah.
And how serious is Congress about this? I mean, we've heard this before. We've heard this over and over again that and Greg's 100% right. Eric Holder and I had so many people tweeting at me about this today. They were disgusted and they said, had this been us, we would be in jail. But it's Washington, D.C., and it appears that everybody in Washington, D.C. has a separate set of rules that don't apply to them, that the normal American public, and Eric Holder was an example of that. I mean, he was held in contempt and nothing happened.
Well, you mean like Hillary Clinton gets away with deletions and then bleach bid and busting up devices and taking out SIM cards? We'd get away with that too, right?
Imagine if we did that. Imagine if the FBI contacted us right now and said, we are going to pick up all of your laptops, we want all your phones, and by the time they got here, we smashed them, bleach bit, we destroyed them.
No, I just say Hillary Clinton did it. Why can't I?
Yeah.
That'd work. Yeah.
Not really.
We'd be in jail. All right, we'll continue. We're in London. Hannity tonight from London. Tell you more about that in a second. All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, we're in London, 800-941-SEAN, President wrapping up in Brussels and coming here to London where we are expecting huge European socialist protesters. We'll be in the middle of it. We'll be headed to Helsinki. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern from London. We continue with Sarah Carter and, of course, Greg Jarrett. So I want to get back to the legal side of this, Greg, and that is, okay, now how does a judge not uphold the law, and that is that we know that Lisa Page defied a subpoena and didn't show up today.
What do we do when a judge says, forget the law?
Well, the first step is Congress has to hold her in criminal contempt, but then Congress doesn't have the power to enforce it. The Congress then would have to go to a federal judge and petition the judge for enforcement. Judge would probably hold a hearing, and, you know, the sniveling defense attorney for Lisa Page would come in there and say, oh, gee, she didn't get to look at documents in advance. And the sympathetic judge, being a liberal in Washington, D.C., would say, oh, okay, give her another chance. That's exactly what's going to happen.
All right, when we come back from London, we'll continue more with Greg Jarrett, his book on Hannity.com. It's out in less than 2 weeks now. Guaranteed bestseller and the definitive book on all of this corruption. And Sarah Carter's, well, she's about to break some very big news. We're going to see how much we can get out of her as we continue the Sean Hannity Show from London. 25 now till the top of the hour. Glad you're with us. We're in London today, expecting huge protests as the week unfolds here. We will be here, then we'll be in Helsinki for the summit that goes on between President Trump and, of course, Vladimir Putin. And we learned today that the president's not so nervous about whatever compromising materials Vladimir may have on him, because he literally told Angela Merkel that it is stupid, in a nicer way, that we are paying all this money for NATO, the bulk of money, of course, coming from the United States, while she's signing billions and billions and billions of dollars of business deals, and 70% of the lifeblood of Germany's economy is the result of Putin opening the spigot and allowing energy sources to flow to Germany when she doesn't need to be so dependent on the very people and the very person and the very rogue state that they're so afraid of, which is one of the big reasons we have the NATO alliance to begin with. I mean, just plain, simple, basic, fundamental common sense. We also have the latest on Judge Kavanaugh. We'll have all of this. One thing before we get back to Sarah and Greg. Remember Obama said, told us, the American people, those manufacturing jobs, they're never coming back. Well, guess what? Obama, like everything else, was wrong on that. We have now more Americans. Well, on top of the fact we have the largest number of Americans ever participating. Labor participation number has never been higher. We have more jobs in America than we have people on unemployment. That's never happened before. And then, of course, the records in 14 states, record low unemployment, record low for Hispanic Americans, African Americans, and women in the workforce. Anyway, now more manufacturing workers are employed today than at any other point in the last 10 years. Elections matter. As President Trump's America First agenda now grows the economy, and he's out fighting to protect U.S. industry. And by the way, I love the fact that he's saying to other countries, pay your fair share, and you shouldn't be making alliances and billion-dollar deals with people that you're so afraid of. And all your energy reliance and dependence is on a country you don't trust. Anyway, bottom line is we have 12.8 million Americans now that are working in U.S. manufacturing jobs in the industry. That's a 10-year high for our economy. The last time that many Americans were working in manufacturing, oh, that was back in December of 08. What else happened in 08? Oh, that's right. Barack Hussein Obama was elected. And in June of 2018, Trump's booming economy delivered an additional 36,000 manufacturing jobs for American workers. By the way, we see new jobs in fabricated metal products and jobs in manufacturing computer and electronic products and manufacturing primary metals. We have over 12,000 car and vehicle parts manufacturing jobs created in June alone. And in the past year, 285,000 new manufacturing jobs were added to the U.S. economy. Oh, I guess we're making America great again. Oh, the forgotten men and women now have good, high-paying career jobs available to them, which was what the whole election was about, which is why 2018 is about Democrats wanting to undo the election, and they want a do-over in this election because they can't stand that they lost and Donald Trump won. All right, we continue. Greg Jarrett with us, Fox News legal analyst, author of, well, it's now less than 2 weeks away, and this will be the definitive book on the absolute corruption at the highest levels of the DOJ and the FBI, which, of course, we're talking about Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. Strzok, who is supposed to testify tomorrow, it's going to be in front of the cameras. Lisa Page, who didn't show up and defied a subpoena before Congress earlier today,
And Sarah Carter, Fox News contributor, investigative reporter. And by the way, Greg's book, The Russian Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton, Frame Donald Trump. It's up on Amazon.com, Hannity.com. Yeah.
Yeah, I bought a copy, an advanced copy, so I'm excited to read it.
I didn't get a chance. Greg would have given you a free one.
I want to support Greg.
Well, you're very kind. I would have given you a signed copy, multiple.
I hope I get a signed copy of it. I mean, I hope I can send it to you. Sign it, Greg.
Well, absolutely. Well,
I think I can arrange that. I know Greg really well. But actually, he did give me a signed copy, and I have another. I have a backup copy because I got one of the galleys, and I actually have ripped every page out of it and marked it up and put it in separate categories based on the topics. But the bottom line here is, your book title does capture where we are. And here's the question that people ask me most often. Hillary gets away with what she gets away with. They literally, there's no, it's irrefutable that Hillary violated multiple felonies, right. Espionage Act among them. And there's no bigger case for obstruction than what Hillary did. And then you got the FISA court being lied to not once, but four separate times, with the bulk of that information coming from the phony Clinton bought and paid for dossier. There's so many different aspects to this, but it really comes down to a bunch of people that thought that they knew better than the American people, and they were going to stop Trump. They had an insurance policy if he did win, and we see all of it unfolding.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a bigger... Go ahead.
You know, and James Comey doesn't remember the moment he decided that Hillary Clinton had committed crimes. This is one of the more stunning revelations in the IG report. He sits down on May 2nd and he writes out a statement summarizing Clinton's behavior, mishandling classified documents. And he writes that she was, quote, grossly negligent. Now, that's right out of the statute. It's a felony. And he also said the sheer volume of documents supports the inference that she was grossly negligent. But here's the thing. He tells the IG, yeah, I wrote out that statement, but gosh, I don't recall writing the words gross negligence. Now, his amnesia is preposterous. It's mendacious. We're supposed to believe that the FBI director memorializes in print that the leading candidate for the president of the United States commits crimes, and yet, I don't really recall writing those incriminating words. And sure enough, a few weeks later, Peter Strzok and his lovebird, Lisa Page, sit down at Strzok's computer and they delete the words gross negligence and they substitute Obama's words, extremely careless, in order to create this charade, a mirage, that she hadn't violated the federal felony statutes. It was a predetermined outcome. Mm-hmm. It was all just a sham investigation. And on the very day that Comey makes the announcement that he's exonerating her, his FBI simultaneously is in London meeting with Christopher Steele, the author of the dossier, and they were off to the races to implicate Trump and frame him for things he did not do.
Now, you're working on a story, Sarah, and to the extent you can tell us, I do keep my sources confidential, and I actually have some corroboration for what you're doing. It's going to be a pretty big story, and it's at the heart of all of this. What can you tell us at this point?
Well,
and when do you think we're going to know?
Well, I think we'll find out later this week. My story will come out sometime this week once we get some more information. But what I can say about the story is that it expands on what we already know. It brings in Obama's senior officials, their involvement, what was their coordination with each other. I think there's a lot of questions that the American people still don't have answered. And you had said earlier, Sean, you talked about it being, you know, people that were planning this. These weren't just people. These were people that were in charge of the U.S. intelligence community, in charge of our federal law enforcement. These are people who weaponized the systems that were meant to protect Americans, meant to protect our national security and internal law enforcement agencies. They took those tools and they weaponized them to basically go after a president. This is incredible. This is what happens when we read about this in other countries. This is, some people have described it to me as a white coup. We really have to look at who the players were, how they were involved, and just like Greg said, it's absolutely preposterous that an FBI director has a memory lapse as large as Comey's has been, and also other people that were involved in the same situation, same memory lapses. The American people aren't going to buy it, and I don't believe they're going to stand for it.
You know, I think this is getting deeper and deeper. And here's the other question, Greg, that I think the American people want answers to. Hillary, she's not in jail like Paul Manafort, 23 hours a day in isolation, although he's now being moved. And the judge, I thought, made some pretty sarcastic remarks. Well, they're used to dealing with spies and this and that. I mean, I thought that was, you know what? He's not convicted of anything.
No.
And explain to people, how is it that if you're charged and one judge says that they dug up an old 2005 tax case involving the Ukraine, not Russia, and that it was to put the screws to Manafort so he'll sing or compose for the purpose that he'll say something that they can use to prosecute or impeach Donald Trump. How is it possible, and that he might have tried to contact a witness in this case? Did he ever get a hold of that witness?
No, he never did. Look, he's charged with a tax fraud case. This isn't a murder case. This isn't an assault case. It's outrageous and an insult to our system of justice that somebody like this is thrown behind bars before trial over something like an allegation of contacting a witness. Take his phones away, put him in his home with a bracelet, disconnect his computers. That is the remedy.
But all these fake news hosts say, well, you can't do that. A judge can't order him.
Sure you can.
Of course you can.
You can do anything you want. You know, what you should never do is throw somebody behind bars on such scant evidence. And this just shows and underscores the thuggish tactics that Andrew Weissman, you know, Robert Mueller's pit bull, and his team of partisans engage in. They try to browbeat people, scorched earth policy, for Donald Trump and anybody associated with him. And with Hillary Clinton, it's kid gloves. You know, oh, kumbaya. She didn't really mean to do it. That was the other thing that Comey said. He said, well, you know, it was my understanding of the legislative history of that gross negligence statute that there has to be some willingness or intent. I looked up the legislative history. There is no such thing. Comey's lying. He's just making that up. And that was another one of his vacuous excuses for absolving Hillary Clinton.
Anybody, Sarah, get held accountable? I mean, in other words, we know crimes were committed. We know a presidential election, they literally prevented one candidate, the favored candidate, from being indicted. And then even in text messages are admitting they're rushing into this investigation, all based on lies and bought and paid for lies of Hillary to destroy the other candidate. Now, this is still the United States, although I'm in London. I'm not in the United States at the moment, but I am an American and I have my U.S. passport. but this is what they did, and I don't see anybody being held accountable.
It's extraordinarily frustrating, Sean. It's a question that every single person that I come in contact with has asked me. If all of this happened, how come nobody's holding them accountable? This is up to the Department of Justice. We have Attorney General Jeff Sessions, which is MIA in this situation. We have Rod Rosenstein, which appears to be working contrary to finding out any truth here and is complicit along with all these others involved in this scheme. And, you know, Mueller obviously has his own agenda. And it's the same one as Rod Rosenstein's. And now you have the president who has the authority to declassify all of the documents to find out what really happened. But we need people with the guts to actually tell the truth, expose the truth, no matter how bad it is, no matter how it affects the bureaucracy right now. It's the only way you're going to clean it out. And that comes from people that are working within these agencies, people who are working within the FBI, the NSA, the CIA, they want this to happen. It's the only way to make things right. And if they don't, unfortunately, the abuse of power is going to continue, and it'll continue in another administration. It could even continue in this one.
But we can't let this go by, because if it goes by, Greg, the rule of law as we know it, and we're supposed to be a constitutional republic. We've gotten into that debate with the announcement of Judge Kavanaugh, the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court to replace Kennedy. But I'm thinking, really, if none of us, nobody listening to this program can get away with Hillary did. Nobody could get away with lying to a judge to obtain a warrant. Nobody could get away with putting in the fix for somebody that committed felonies. I'm thinking we've lost the country then if people aren't held accountable.
The great Supreme Court Justice Louis Greg. Brandeis said it best. He said, sunlight is the best of disinfectants. The public needs to see what has gone on here. And yet the Department of Justice and the FBI and Rod Rosenstein continue to cover up and conceal evidence, defying subpoenas, lawful subpoenas by Congress. And until all of the evidence is made public for all of us to read, we'll never know the depths, the cesspool of corruption at the DOJ and the FBI.
And it'll continue.
And last word, Sarah. It's going to continue. Well, if it happens, I honestly fear for the country.
I do too, but Sean.
Especially watching Paul Manafort. And I don't know what Paul Manafort did or didn't do. Or you watch, you know, this insane raid on Michael Cohen's everything. And I'm thinking, wow, I thought there was something, something called attorney-client privilege. Apparently that doesn't exist anymore. But if you're going to put Manafort in jail for a 2005 tax case, 23 hours a day, and treat him like he's a mobster because you really want him to sing, and all these other people get off free, we've lost the country. And that's when it gets way too serious for me. And I actually think these people are so arrogant. Again, this is not rank and file, that they think they did the right thing for the country. All right, don't forget, Greg's book is, you can get it anywhere, Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores anywhere. Now, less than 2 weeks away, the Russia hoax, Sarah Carter. Both Greg and Sarah will be joining us on Hannity tonight. Steve Bannon is with us in London. He'll be joining us. Newt Gingrich. We have Catherine Herridge. Sebastian Gorka is here. And much more. That's coming up tonight. All right, wrapping things up. Hannity from London tonight. We'll see you at 9 Eastern, 3 hours from now.